Welcome home. We are WNST, Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore Positive. We're positively into trading, and things will be a little different after 6 p.m. Luke Jones joins us now on the backside of a split doubleheader on Monday. Luke, you talked a lot last week about sort of clubhouse tensions and people worried about being dealt and everybody being on edge. And then we chatted on Monday about Austin Hayes getting the exit ticket and not feeling all that bad about it. I guess playing time and money and career, and your agent tells you go play someplace where you can play. How are they doing doubleheader wise and not playing great baseball and the whole on the edge thing you talked about last week?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's anything out of the ordinary, Nestor. I mean, I can think back to the Buck Showalter era with trade deadlines, and I can remember, I vividly remember, I think it was 2015 when Tommy Hunter was dealt to the Cubs. And I want to say at that point in time, it was a 4 o'clock trade deadline because it coincided with being in the clubhouse. And 4 o'clock had hit, and it seemed like there were no more trades. And then it got announced like 5 minutes later that Tommy Hunter was being dealt, and he was very popular in that clubhouse at that time. It's one of those situations where it's difficult. Even if a player like an Austin Hayes is seeking playing time, better role elsewhere, can see the writing on the wall that he doesn't have a future here, there's still stress to it. There's still angst to it. Or even if it's someone who knows he's not going anywhere, like Gunnar Henderson, for example, right? He's not being traded, of course, but he knows that someone in his clubhouse, one of his friends, someone that's down at AAA that he knows and is fond of, because these guys all came up through the system together. So there's some
And
of
they all
that. I
looked
don't
up to
know.
Hayes, right? Like, I mean, Hayes was one of the OGs, right?
Sure. I mean, whether you're extremely close with everyone in the clubhouse or not, I mean, there are always closer friendships and all of that in any clubhouse, any locker room. But these are still your brothers to varying degrees, even if it's individuals that you don't necessarily hang out with a lot outside of team functions. You're still around all these people all the time. I mean, these guys spend more time with each other than their wives and their own families. So over the course of the baseball season. So there's always some of that. There's been so much unknown. They're asked about it. They see it on MLB Network, in the clubhouse TVs, where you'll see, sometimes you'll see a player see his own name flash up on the screen for a potential trade idea or something like that. So there's a whole lot of that. And I think when you get to the point where you're on the deadline, you've reached deadline day, you're down to the final hours, there will be a finality to it. And I think there will be a sense of relief for players who think they might be dealt, possibly dealt. Ryan Mountcastle's name has been thrown out there. Cedric Mullins' name has been thrown out there. We talked about that a couple days ago. And they've continued to help the Orioles win. So you have some of that. But once 6 p.m. hits, and obviously they'll be playing a game very shortly thereafter, there will be, I think, a sense of some exhale and say, okay, we added Eflin, we added Sir Anthony Dominguez. We'll see who else they potentially add. I know Mike Elias. I walked by him at a couple different points. The media asked him at one point, like, "Hey, you want to talk to us? Update us on what's going on?" And he kind of just laughed. He said, "Tomorrow." Obviously, he's been busy working the phones, but there's still lots of players out there. I don't want to go through too many of the names because, as we speak, the names can fly off the board, especially over these final hours. But there are still opportunities for the Orioles to make a deal, opportunities for other teams to continue making deals. But I do think once you get down to the final hours, you get down to the final day, there is a sense of, all right, so much speculation. I mean, I think you and I are probably tired of talking about it at this point in terms of the speculating about the same names over and over and over. I mean, Blake Snell's the newest one that's been thrown out there a whole lot, in terms of whether the Orioles or any other team, because of the way he's pitched since coming off the IL. But once 6 p.m. hits on Tuesday night, there is a sense of, okay, this is what your team's going to look like. Now, the Orioles have some prospects that we're probably going to see down the stretch as well. Jackson Holliday, Cobie Mayo. I fully expect we're going to see those two at some point here. But this is your last opportunity to make a meaningful outside addition. And there's definitely that angst that's lingering with teams, all teams, not just the Orioles, still wondering, hey, what's this going to look like? Am I going to be here? Is my best friend going to be here? Is the guy across the way going to be here? And it's definitely a challenge as, oh yeah, you're also trying to play baseball and try to play better baseball than the Orioles have over the last month. Game one went well. Eflin pitched, three run homer aside, pitched pretty well. But game two with Cade Povich, not so much. And the defense in game two, not so much. So, kind of a mixed bag as far as what we saw on Monday from the Orioles. But most doubleheaders, even against lesser teams, you're usually going to end up getting a split. I mean, that's kind of the result you expect to see. And they have Corbin Burnes and Grayson Rodriguez going in the final two games of this series. So, still a great opportunity for the Orioles to try to earn a series win.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the throwing the names out because by 2 o'clock we could embarrass ourselves. But we spent so much time on Scooble. We spent so much time on Crochet. Crochet then has an agent that says he's not going to pitch in the postseason unless he gets money. I mean, like, here we go. It's like the pitchers have become diva school at this way, and I guess that's fine too. Are they done with Eflin? Is that's their starter as you see it? Because we spent a lot of time discussing something that might be more along the lines of Burnes or Rodriguez or something that felt more dramatic, at least in the long term. And Eflin will be here next year. He'll make his hopefully 34 starts next year, whatever that number is. And they're going to pay him handsomely to do that. They haven't had a whole lot of guys internally they've had to pay, real money to as pitchers around here. They haven't been good enough for that. Where are you on the starting side? Was that acquisition, if that's the starter for all the names we talked about? We didn't talk a whole lot about him, by the way, until he got here. Is that good enough as you see it?
I mean, they're not done in the sense that they're still trying. I mean, they're still looking at other starters. They're still having conversations. Do I expect them to add another starter? Not necessarily, because I think you still have teams. And look, let's be clear. Zach Eflin, and I did mention him at a couple points, and with the caveat of, are they willing to take on some contract? And this is a case where they did, right? And $18 million for 2025. But I think Snell is so fascinating because he has a $30 million player option. I think that's fascinating, not just in terms of the Orioles or any team potentially sniffing around him, but just in terms of how do you value him then? Is he truly a rental or is he going to opt out? I mean, a month ago, people would have said, oh, there's no way he's going to opt out. Blake Snell's having an awful year. He had the weird offseason, just like all these pitchers who waited around for better money and ended up not getting it. But since he's come off the IL, he's looked like Cy Young Award winner Blake Snell. So is that going to continue? If it does, that $30 million player option, he probably doesn't exercise it and wants to go to free agency. So that's where I think it's tricky for any team that's talking to the Giants about a potential deal there. Is it truly a rental or is it not a rental? And if you're the Giants, you're probably asking for more, saying, hey, $30 million, look at what his season ERA is and all that. So I think with him, and we've talked about this with at length with Crochet and Scooble. I mean, we don't need to belabor the point on them. We've got 3 weeks of probably longer than 3 weeks worth of conversations about those guys. So, do I think those are high percentage propositions as far as the Orioles landing one of those guys? Probably not. I still, if you're going to ask me if there's one more move in them, I'm going to still tend to think it's on the bullpen side because I still think that's way more glaring in terms of postseason series and understanding that most starting pitchers aren't going to go more than a couple times through the order in October anyway. I like the Eflin deal. I like it for next year. I like it for this year. I think he's very clearly an upgrade over Dean Kramer. Dean Kramer being your number four starter in a postseason series is more palatable to me than saying him as the number three. I'm not saying it's optimal or the absolute best that's going to be out there, but I still like Corbin Burnes more than most teams' number one starters in a postseason. I still like the upside of Grayson Rodriguez in a postseason series. And yes, Zach Eflin has pitched in the postseason and gives them a veteran element to their rotation in addition to Burnes. So, that's a kind of a long-winded answer to to your question, they're still trying. I don't think it's half-hearted trying or just making it look like you're trying. I think they are truly trying to land another starting pitcher, but you know, I think Michael Eisen, I've said this over and over. That's why I said probably a month ago where I said, if you're going to ask me to predict, I'm going to guess it's going to be on the more modest side than some of the names that are being thrown out there. You know, he's not going to just give away his very best prospects. So I think, you know, it sounds like Detroit wants to hold on to Scooble. We'll see. I mean, again, so much of what you hear this time of year in terms of reports, you need to be very, very skeptical about. As you
Oh, but
said,
by the way,
with
today's the most expensive day in the year to do business, though, right? I mean, if you want relief pitching right now, you're going to pay Uber surcharge. It's raining and you're wet, and you're going to pay a little more. That's and if you don't,
maybe.
good for you. But you know, if there's somebody you really want, you feel like that's my seventh or eighth inning guy, or that's a guy that could be a closer. In the case of the Oakland kid, like you know, I don't. You're not going to give up Mayo. You're not going to give up Holiday. I don't believe any of that's going to happen by the end of the day, right? But then what are you going to give up? Whatever it is, it's more than maybe you thought you were 3 weeks ago. That's all I'm going to say.
Potentially. At the same time, if you're a team that's holding out for the absolute best offer and you're holding out for the absolute best offer with rental players, right? I mean, if it's someone that has club control beyond this year, then yeah, that's a different story because then you say, well, I can do what the White Sox did last this past offseason with Dylan Cease, right? You wait till the offseason and then you trade him at that point. So generally speaking, I would tend to agree with you. And that's where I think the Orioles did well for themselves in making the deals that they did when they did on Friday, because I think you look at what the cost was for Sir Anthony Dominguez compared to some of the other bullpen arms that have moved, including some bullpen arms that I don't think necessarily have as much upside as Dominguez. Not that Dominguez has had a great year. I know what the ERA is, but he's also pitched really well in the past, including pitching really well in October in the past. And same thing with Eflin. I mean, take a look at what the Astros gave up for Kikuchi, who was supposed to pitch the finale against the Orioles on Wednesday afternoon. That deal's been panned in terms of how much the Astros gave up. Now, if Kikuchi gets on a heck of a roll going there, then they'll evaluate that deal differently. But in terms of just the from a value standpoint, what the Orioles gave up for Eflin compared to what the Astros gave up for Kikuchi, I mean, there were I saw the Houston fan, some Houston fans and Houston media on social media late Tuesday night kind of melting down. One, because they had a bad loss, but also because there was very much as or Monday night, sorry, not Tuesday night. Didn't mean to confuse you there. But because they melted down and had a loss, and also there was very much a sentiment of why did we just give up one of our absolute best prospects for a rental of a pitcher who hasn't even been all that good this year? So, you know, teams do get desperate. So to your point, it lends itself to you get down to the final hours. Who's going to be the most desperate? Is it the team that's looking to make a move, or is it the team that's holding out for their absolute best deal, but then they get to the final 30 minutes and they say, oh, well, we don't want to be left with this guy and get nothing for him. So there is that proverbial game of chicken that goes on. You know, you're certainly you don't expect to have a deal in place on the last day where you're, you know, getting something really good for a song. I'm not implying that, but there is definitely a sense of if you wait to the very last minute, there could be that team that gets a little antsy and say, well, we need to get something for this guy. And that's the scenario where maybe you don't have to give up quite as much. But we've seen it for the most part since the first few deals, which the Orioles were a part of, it's been much more of a seller's market. And that's what we anticipated. That's why we've seen some of these strange major leaguer for major leaguer kind of deals like the Orioles and Phillies pulled off, where you say, hey, it's a buyer trading with a buyer, or a buyer trading with a team that's not doing a full-blown fire sale, but also doing some things to improve their chances for next year. So it's been an interesting trade deadline in that regard. You know, in regards to the Orioles with pitching, you know, are we going to see any of those top starters moved? Jack Flaherty's going to get moved. You know, I think everyone agrees on that front. But in terms of the ranking the starters that have been moved to this point, I think they've done pretty well with Eflin. So, you know, again, the bullpen arms that are out there. It's not going to be cheap, most likely, but at the same time, I still view Mike Elias through the lens of haven't really seen him overpay drastically for any of the moves he's made over the last few years in terms of trades. So I'm not necessarily expecting it to start now. But that said, if you want to add another bullpen piece that's attractive, especially on the heels of Craig Kimbrell continuing to struggle, then yeah, you're going to have to give up someone. Just not going to be, obviously, Kobe Mayo to land a bullpen arm. It's going to be, you know, a couple guys from their second and third tier prospects, which, by the way, are still very good and still better than what a lot of teams can offer for some of those same arms that are going to be out there.
Luke Jones is here. He will be in Owings Mills. He will be at Camden Yards. They allow him in. They allow me to speak about them on the radio here. But the Blue Jays, they're in town. You talk about what's going on in the division and what we've seen all of our lives in the American League East, where the Yankees spend money, they can afford to make mistakes. The Red Sox for a long time spent a lot of money and made some mistakes. The Blue Jays have sort of never climbed the mountain, and now they're like in the sell mode. The Rays, we have one of their pitchers, right? So, you know, I mean, the weaklings in the division, I couldn't call the Orioles that. We're trying to figure out what the Orioles are going to be payroll-wise. Toronto has, you know, said what they are, and Tampa has said what they are, but this weird little sell-off in the American League East, too, as they try to retool. And I wonder to myself, when will Toronto get back up and walk? When are they going to be a 95 win kind of team again? Tampa, I give them the benefit of the doubt, but the Toronto bust up has been, if we better hope we're not that team 2 or 3 years from now. I mean, you better hope you have some success in October, because this that's as big a disappointment in Major League Baseball over the last couple of years as any franchise, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to be. I mean, we talked about this back in spring training. I mean, ultimately, Ohtani ended up going to the Dodgers, but there was a minute there when I think the Blue Jays believed they had a shot at him. And I think, look, admirable for trying to land such an amazing, generational, historic kind of talent, but it was one of those deals that when that didn't happen, how did they pivot? You know, how did they make themselves better? And you kind of look at their offseason, it was really underwhelming in that way. Now, I'll say this, it does appear, and now this could change even as you and I are speaking, and certainly we'll reconvene and talk about this on Wednesday morning to see how it all played out. But it does feel like Toronto, and the sentiment does seem that they don't want to trade guys that are still under control for multiple years. It doesn't seem like it's a full-blown fire sale. It's more so, okay, they moved Justin Turner. They moved Kikuchi. They've moved some other guys that have expiring contracts. So, you know, they're in.
The guys they went and got to thinking they were going to win the World Series with them, right?
Yeah, yeah. So they're in sell mode, but it's not full-blown sell mode that they're going into a full-blown rebuild. I think there's still a sense for them that they're hoping that they can bounce back in 2025. And look, I mean, they still have as the Orioles found out and were reminded on Monday, Vlad Guerrero Jr. still pretty good with the bat, right? I mean, that, an understatement. You know, they still have some other really talented players. They still have pitchers who are under contract for next year and beyond. So all is not lost in that sense, but how can you not view them as a colossal disappointment? I mean, just in terms of just how they've played, you know, selling off your assets because you're 13 games out of first place and, you know, well out of a wild card, you know, your expiring assets, that, you know, that's good business. But just in a big picture sense, there has to be such an alarming disappointment as far as how bad they've been. I mean, after the doubleheader split, they're what, 50 and 57 and minus 75 run differential. I mean, that's really bad. I mean, that kind of run differential speaks to, you probably should be worse than 50 and 57. So
that's, you talk about the Orioles run differential the last month too. You know,
sure. I mean, well, and you know, run differential is supposed to be predictive. So I guess my point in saying that is when you see that, I don't think Toronto is going to play very inspired baseball the rest of the year now, especially having sold off some of these guys that had expiring contracts. So will they rebound next year? You know, they've got work to do. You mentioned Tampa. It feels like, okay, the Rays might be for another year, and then they'll be back to being competitive because they're just smart. Now, that doesn't mean they'll be the class of the division or winning a World Series, but they've kind of earned that reputation over the last 15 years of they churn the roster, they have a year or two where they take a step back, and then they're right back to being in contention. So yeah, you look at those two teams. Boston feels very much ascending at this point. I think they're interesting in terms of not just the deadline, but where they go from here moving forward. And we've talked a lot about the Yankees. I mean, the Yankees are expensive. Yankees have Judge and Soto, and we'll see what happens ultimately with Soto. But they also are dealing or leaning on some older players and older assets and expensive ones at that. So I will continue to look at the outlook of the AL East as it stands right now, not just for the rest of this year, but over the next 3 or 4 years. How can you not feel really good about where the Orioles are, regardless of anyone else they might land at this trade deadline? You know, it doesn't mean they're going to win the World Series this October, but they're still in a really good spot with the guys they have on their roster, with guys that they have that are on the way, you know, like Holiday, like Mayo, maybe Basayo in a couple years. So, you know, do they move any of those guys? It's still, you know, tough for me to believe they're going to move their top three, but there's still other guys that they can move to make moves here over this final day. And, you know, we'll see how it plays out after that. I mean, I'll say this. They need their guys, their current guys, to play better. I mean, Adley Rutschman, maybe if there was one positive from Monday night's game, and there was not much because Povich was bad. I have to say this, Nestor, and I don't want to bury the kid. He's a rookie. He can get better, all that. I'm not seeing it with Cade Povich as far as contributing meaningfully down the stretch. And that even more reason why it was good they got Zach Eflin, because now he's bumped down a spot, and, you know, we'll see what the fifth starter spot looks like if they don't add another starting pitcher.
It's an old Saturday Night Live line, not ready for prime time, right? Not ready for prime time.
I don't see enough even on the peripheral from him. I mean, he doesn't miss bats. He walks people and he doesn't strike people out. I can live with some walks if you're going to strike people out, but if you're pitching the contact and you're walking people, boy, that is just not, that's not a combination that's going to lead to much success usually. Now, do they move him in the pen down the stretch? Could he be a bullpen option for them? And maybe his stuff ticks up. I'm more intrigued about Chase McDermott maybe in that role than Cade Povich. But if there was one positive, because I was trying to be positive here, and then I went off in a negative direction. But hey, when you lose the way they did Monday night, call a spade a spade. It was a pretty underwhelming performance at best. But Adley Rutschman hit the ball hard three different times, really hit the ball hard, and didn't get results, but I'm hoping the Orioles have to be hoping. I know Adley Rutschman himself is hoping that that's a sign of him starting to break out, because it's been such a brutal month for him at the plate. And you know, I think it's interesting. We didn't talk about this. Maybe we did in passing, but it was back in late June that he took a foul tip off his right hand and, you know, finished the game, even hit a home run that night, but did have it x-rayed. X-ray was negative, sat out a game. He hasn't hit ever since. Now, so I'm not saying that the hand is this major issue, but it is a interesting coincidence that he went into a tailspin right after that. So, you know, whether that was something that it's sore for a few days and, you know, you pick up some bad habits with how you're swinging the bat or not, they need Adley Rutschman. They need him badly to start hitting. I mean, great to see Kowser start to hit. I think him in the leadoff role is interesting. At the very least, it kind of gives you a, you know, I'm not saying he is this player, but gives you a little bit of a Kyle Schwarber kind of vibe, although Kowser's a much, much better defensive player. But, you know, that seemed to give them a little bit of a short-term jolt in terms of their offense and dropping Gunnar Henderson down to the three spot. So we'll see if they continue to do that, or was that just a couple-day thing. But they need Rutschman to start hitting. They need some other guys in that lineup who haven't been hitting to start performing. As I've said over and over, regardless of the trade deadline and all the great opportunities that the trade deadline and all the great speculation that the trade deadline gives you, if this team's going anywhere in October, it's still going to be way more about the guys that are already on this roster, getting themselves situated, starting to come alive at the plate. And another thing, defense. This team has to start defending better again. I mean, what is going on in that regard? Other than Colton Kowser, over the last couple of days, they're still having too many lapses defensively. And it's just so out of character because they were so good defensively the first 3 months of the season. So just still some weird stuff like that. But as I was talking with someone on Monday or earlier in the day, It was a very simple comment that was made. This team made baseball look pretty darn easy over the last calendar year, especially all of last year until the Texas series. It's a really difficult game, and it is a game that's, you know, has failure surrounding you every single day in terms of how you play. They're going through it. There's no doubt about it, but they have a track record that I think they're going to play better baseball down the stretch. And I said this yesterday, I'll continue to say it. I do think in a big picture sense, and that doesn't mean that they're winning the World Series this October, but I do think this last month is going to help them grow as a team in a long-term standpoint in terms of understanding that, yeah, you're going to go through some tough stretches and you're not going to play well at times. And a part of that is just dealing with it and persevering and picking yourself up off the mat. And certainly the Orioles are still going through that. And, you know, hope that these next 2 days, you know, with the trade deadline passing and with Burns and Grayson Rodriguez on the bump, that, you know, they can win a couple games here before they go to Cleveland and begin a road trip that's going to be challenging.
Yeah, definitely got to get into a place where we're not talking about, you know, how bad they played in one of the games yesterday, yeah, or what their record has been since the Yankee series that's so upside down. They got to get that right-sided. Luke can be found at Baltimore Luke. He's going to be out in Owings Mills. We'll be monitoring the trade deadline. All of that will be out on our social media. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.